Want to roll dice with your favorite Bad GM? Check out starplaying.games and search for Bad GM Dan. You can join me for some Warhammer Fantasy roleplay, possibly some Pathfinder 2nd Edition, Starfinder 2nd Edition, maybe even some Marvel Multiverse RPG. You know, just like any RPG, the limit is only your imagination. Check out startplaying.games to book me however you want, or join a game that I'm already running. I hope to see you there, and we'll roll some dice together.
The Professional Casual Network has gear. If you're looking to get some sweet merch from Beards, Ears, and Skulls, Grim Podcast, A Perilous Adventure, Arachne, and Infinity Podcast, or a whole lot more, you can check out streamlabs.com/professionalcasualnetwork1/merch. Also, don't go to Built Bar anymore. They're not a sponsor, and they're dead to us, so head over to monumenthobbies.com and use code PROFESSIONALCASUAL at checkout for 5% off every single order you possibly, you know, like, order for, like, paints and board games and stuff. Right? Thanks! The Professional Casual Network has gear. If you're looking to get some sweet merch from Beards, Ears, and Skulls, Grim Podcast, A Perilous Adventure, Arachne, and Infinity Podcast, or a whole lot more, you can check out streamlabs.com/professionalcasualnetwork1/merch. Also, don't go to Built Bar anymore. They're not a sponsor, and they're dead to us, so head over to monumenthobbies.com and use code PROFESSIONALCASUAL at checkout for 5% off every single order you possibly, you know, like, order for, like, paints and board games and stuff. Right? Thanks!
The podcast you're about to listen to is part of the Professional Casual Network. To find more podcasts like this, please visit professionalcasual.com. This message approved by Throwlash Gaming. And welcome to another episode of Beards, Ears, and Skulls, bam, 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 bam. The best old world podcast on the internet. I just told my partner Elizabeth tonight that I was recording Bess, and she goes, "What is that?" And I said, Beards, Ears, and Skulls, because it's the best old world podcast on the internet. And she said, "You're an idiot." And I was like, "But it is."
Way.
But anyways, I'm Taylor, your personal grudge bearer, and with me is Dan, as well as Brooks.
Hi.
We're back.
We are back. As always, before we get started, I want to send a huge thank you to our beautiful and wonderful patrons who support us over on patreon.com/professionalcasual. These folks help us do what we do every day, keep the lights on, and keep Tim from eating his bottle brush trees. Anybody remember those bottle brush trees?
A little bit.
The best, right?
You, like, you trim just down the top to make them pointy.
Yeah, and then you spray paint them green and then just dip them in flock.
Done.
They were the worst. Love them. Anyways, huge special thank you to our current big subbies of X-Paxis. Thank you, buddy, for also heading over to my Patreon, patreon.com/Throwlash. Rob, Iron Maze, Tau, Dagna, Bicon, Briar Mage, Cider Drinker, Kilted Sparky, Kuwaku, Random Guy, Cliff Jumper, Velicenda, Speaks with Winds, Pagrant Pants, David Handeman. Oh, shoot, I had it. I was going so well.
You had that rhythm and you just dropped it.
Man, it was Handem Andy. Handsome Andy, Brooks. Oh, Brooks, Chris Dillard, and Cord. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Brooks.
Thanks, everybody else.
The big helpies. And then we have our electric casuals. Folks, if you head over to patreon.com/professionalcasual and you want to show support to this show in particular, you can sign up at the electric casual tier. We have Tony M. Meerkat, Stefan, Rev Right Mad, Cliff, Elite Eight Showdown was canceled, Anthony Manuel, Daniil Harris, Lil Willie, Carlos, and Nick Barron. Anybody want to take a stab at what X-Paxis username is that he signed up for my Patreon?
I can only imagine.
I'll give you a hint. It has to do with elves.
Something about dark elves?
Sort of. It's Aleph is the answer.
Oh, yeah. He always spells it with an A in front. I'm not sure why. I think he does it to troll those of us that don't like AOS. But I want to say a super big shout out. Thank you to everybody that's gone to the Patreon. We talk about all the time, like, to help support us and everything. We were able to get a new editing computer for the network. Just came in the other day, which
is kidding.
Awesome, because mine has been dying, for like, I had to use Danny's laptop to edit episodes for the last year or so. So it was nice to finally not even an upgrade, but just one that works. Cause like my current laptop's 5 years old now ish, just about. And like, I can't even, the mic on it doesn't work. It hasn't worked in like 2 years. So like anytime I do like a video, like, doctor visit or anything, I have to use the whole mixer setup and everything.
Jeez.
which is kind of hilarious to go into like a doctor's appointment with like headphones and the mic is there and everything.
Oh, I would absolutely do one from down here. Like, hang on, let me get my professional mic, which is broken, by the way.
I love how it just dangles there.
This thing has been broken for God knows how long. Dangling I bought this angle. Thing in like 2017 or something. So it's gotten its money worth. It's $50.
Hey, come that's on. Fantastic. But I figured it'd be good to let people know like how it's actually supporting us.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, getting new equipment is huge because we haven't updated equipment in forever. It's been a long time. And we are moving out of our studio in town real soon. Our lease is up and we're not renewing it. Partly because it flooded in there a couple times recently from it's in like a plaza, and a couple other places had overflowing toilets and flooded the whole downstairs, including our studio. And now it smells like a bog and it's awful. And it just won't go away.
We're not going over the troll horde today either. So like, no. It's just terrible in all ways.
So luckily that's going to save us a ton of money every month. And we're basically just going to relocate everything to Tim's basement and my new basement once we get moved. Because
and
we're doing that as well.
Helped.
We all helped.
You all helped. No, I mean the patrons. Thank you.
Oh, I see.
You show up and help move, right? We're supposed to carry boxes for you.
That sounds good, too.
Go up. If this is the one time that I get to meet Pony, finally, it's because he showed up to help move. Anyways.
Oh my God, that would be amazing. PCN moving day.
PCN moving day.
I will make this offer right now. If Pony shows up to help you move, I will give him a goblin army on the spot.
I'm messing with him. Right now.
That might do it.
That might do it.
Yeah, thank you so much, everybody. Thank you, Brooks, as well, of course, being there. And it's just awesome.
Are you working from the new laptop right now?
No.
No? Okay. I was like, oh, all right.
No, because I just, we recorded some Gapapa last night, and that laptop's going to become the new recording laptop, so I don't have, like, Tim doesn't have to then put all the videos that we recorded on his laptop on our Google Drive, then I can download, they'll just be on that laptop already, so I use my laptop for, like, all my PDFs and stuff running the game.
Jeepers.
So it's still right here from last night, so I'm just still using the old one right now.
Well, listen, not to completely sidetrack into something that is excruciatingly similar, but hey, Brooks.
Hey, Taylor.
What you been up to as far as games played and hobbies hobbied?
Haven't gotten any games played in the last 4 days, I think, since we recorded, whatever. But hobby, I've been, I finally found a Bastilodon model that I don't hate. That is
nice.
I like the stats on it, but the model itself, the GW1, can't stand it. Looks too doofy for me. I finally came across a 3D print one. I was like, you know what? I like that. So I picked up two of them. I got a game with Dr. D coming up in a few weeks. So I'm building what I'm calling my, how do I call it? My malpractice claim list that I'm going to bring against him. Let's throw a couple of these in here. We're going to revive the Lizard Man list and modify it for him.
Nice.
This poor frigging guy. He drives 37 hours all the time and just gets his butt handed to him.
Well, you know, only like 45 minutes, an hour, perhaps we're going to meet somewhere in between and get a game in.
Yeah, for him, that's 4.5 hours. You know that, right?
It's chiropractor math.
It's chiropractor math. They didn't go to math school.
Oh, so this is all billable hours? Is that how it gets multiplied?
It's all billable hours.
37 billable hours.
I can hear the cha-ching. Jeepers. Dan, you got any games played or hobbies?
A little bit stuff. Hobbies hobbied. I'm finishing up rebasing my Centigors. They've been sitting on my kitchen table for a solid week. Because nice. I was going to do it last Sunday morning, which I usually have time because Danny does, she goes and does yoga on Sunday mornings. And that's like you know, unbroken hobby time usually. And then this time she was like, would you please come to yoga with me just to try it out and give it a shot? And like, there's a deal right now. So like a class is like $7. And I was like, fine. And then I didn't get to him again until last night. I finally got some, or maybe it was this morning. I don't even remember. I finally got some basing material on him, but it's taking forever. So I'm hoping tonight or tomorrow morning to get the grass on there, and then they should finally be done. My 10 centigorus. I'm really excited to get on the table. I wrote, I really want to try out the wild herd list because it sounds like old beastmen, and I really want to try it.
Oh, fair enough. Absolutely. I'm excited for your centigors because honestly, they're pretty dope.
They're so cool. They're the so coolest cool. unit in the army, and they've always been awful.
Horse in beasts. Fantasy. That's like Dan's whole thing.
Yeah. I don't really care about horses. Shut up. That was TikTok's thing, not mine.
And they're drunk. So
that's funny.
Well, you know, they might have some low inhibitions then.
Yeah, right.
When you're playing Dan, like just hold up a little horse miniature in the background, just kind of wave it around, distract him.
Oh, I got some horse birds. Don't worry.
Oh, there we go.
I'm horse so excited. Bird.
Oh, that's right.
I got horse birds.
Speaking of the chocobos, I might start playing Magic because their newest thing is the Final Fantasy release.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And I'm so excited. I just want to get a bunch of cards to look at them because I love Final Fantasy, except for 16. That sucks.
Yeah, it's probably my favorite game system genre thing too, Dan. Yeah,
whatever, Debbie. Don't even get to talk. Real quick, in terms of games played.
This is coming out, and we're going to push Taylor to live stream some of that.
It's going to be great. I'm going to love it.
I want to talk a little bit about games played and do a little plug that's like network adjacent with things like Gapapa and whatnot that I'm starting to run some paid games through a site called startplaying.games, which is a cool thing that's basically like I think you just link your Google account, which everybody has, and you can like look for professional GMs to join games for all kinds of different RPGs, and I've got a couple different WFRP games on there. So I'm going to really be pushing it for the summer to do it kind of like a summer job. As we just talked about, you know, in a couple weeks I will be on summer vacation. Which is very exciting. So if anybody's interested in playing with the bad GM, you can go to startplaying.games and just like search for bad GM Dan.
Those slots are going quick too. People were talking quite a bit about trying to sign up for them.
Yeah, I'm thinking about trying to add a third WFRP game. We got our first one tomorrow morning at time of recording, which is
heck
exciting.
Yeah. Dude, seriously, that's like super dope as hell. I really hope it works out for you. Thanks, I really do. Yeah.
I think if nothing else, it'll be fun.
I'm not going to lie. I'm looking at a lot of these Final Fantasy Tactic maps, and this would be really good Minecraft terrain. Anyways.
Oh, you'd love Tactics.
It looks like it would work out. The cover is just dudes riding chocobos, and that's my jam.
Yeah.
So. Am I hearing that you're going to turn Minecraft into a Final Fantasy Tactics game? Is that what you're going to do now?
I didn't say it, but I didn't also not say it. So.
Didn't also not say it. What?
Don't get Danny down here. She'll like pull that apart as an English teacher. Would be awful.
Yeah, she doesn't like sentence diagrams.
I unfortunately have to live them as an MCP judge every now and then.
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
Right? I'm as close to Brooks's job as I could ever be being an MCP judge.
Yeah, I'm sure Brooks cares more about sentence structure than Danny does as an English teacher.
I have a lot of things to say about the way you use "but" in your writing, Dan.
The way what?
Using what?
The word "but".
Oh, but. Yeah.
I love "buts". Anyways,
you think as a teacher he would care more about "buts", but he apparently just doesn't quite use them. At least
no, specifically as a teacher, you don't want to care about "buts".
Wait, what? Moving on.
Oh, man.
What are we talking about this week?
The Slaanesh is just rubbing off, and never mind.
Speaking of, what about games played hobby for Taylor? Or should we just move to the next segment?
Right. Let's just skip over me. Right. I've done no games. I'm so boring. No, I've been so busy with work and children and all that sort of stuff. And the only hobbies that I got done was I dry brushed some Fergs, and then I started to contrast paint some Fergs as well. So
nice.
More Fergs coming. Nothing to do with Warhammer, unfortunately, but they are frogs. So that's dope.
Everybody loves frogs.
They're frogs. Great. I found out one of my other big frogs has two or three little tiny frogs on its back.
Nice.
That's the best. Right?
There are frogs in Warhammer. It's Warhammer adjacent, right?
It could very well be. I mean, yeah, actually, kind of. They're like frogs that breathe fire. So I could absolutely see that in Warhammer. But this one's riding a tortoise. He's the best. I love him so much.
This one's riding a tortoise.
Magabaza? Friggin' best name in the world.
So good.
I love him. He's going to sit right here with me. Anyways, we're here to talk about Wood Elves Part 2. I was here for part one, but I fell asleep while we were recording. I'm sorry, everybody. It had nothing to do. It was the trees. It was a beautiful forest landscape. And, you know, I felt very safe in Athaloran, which is the biggest lie. I don't think wood elves feel safe in Athaloran.
So you only feel safe because you're a wood elf player. So it's okay.
Yeah, right. I do have woodies. They're up in a box up there. I got to get those to sell. Oh my gosh. I have so much to do. Anyways, if I don't think about it, it doesn't make me anxious. But we're here to talk about the second part of Wood Elves with their new Arcane Journal and stuff. And I didn't just look at this for the first time tonight or anything, but I just looked at this for the first time tonight. And the Arcane Journal is, once again, just beautiful. I don't know who's doing the art this edition, but my God.
It's a lot of the same people that did the art in the 4th and 8th edition and other prior editions where they stole the art from.
No, I mean, like, even the newer art. Like, is the one on the cover old stuff too? Because, man, that's gorgeous. You know what I mean?
I think the cover is new. No, even the old stuff is still great.
Oh, the old stuff. Listen, I had, Dan, what was the book that I had? It was 5th or 6th edition or something like that? The old Wood Elf book? The art in there was immaculate.
Yeah. I love Paul Dayton's elves. He's my favorite Warhammer artist for elves.
And that could be who it is, because I'm referencing, like, page 5 of the book, the Glade Guard that are there. It's from that old book that I had. Oh my gosh. Oh. Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Right? Honestly, any old RPG or tabletop game, like war game, the art is just going to be fantastic from the 80s or 90s. It has that kind of like quasi nostalgia feel. Like, it still is in the 70s as well. Like an old Rifts book, you know, flipping through that and like that weird old like metal feel to it. Like, absolutely. I'm there for it.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yes, yes, yes. And speaking of old 80s, that friggin' forest dragon, man. Oh my God.
S dragon.
It's so bad, but you gotta love it. There's no way those tiny wings would make that thing fly.
Doesn't it have the giant plastic wings, or is I thinking of something else?
They could. Yeah, they very well could be.
The Dark Elf one, Rakarth, had giant plastic wings on it. I've got that. Honestly, I think they did something similar for the Wood Elf one.
Dan, Timmy would know. I could message him right now. He's also been talking about the Final Fantasy Magic the Gathering stuff, so you might want to chat with him about it. I'm going to message him right now. Did the old forest dragon have plastic wings? We'll see what he says. Anyways,
I'm just going to look at the site here.
Looks a lot like the rat.
Yeah, those wings are huge. Yeah, that's the same thing.
Yeah, this is Rakarth's dragon. Same portions and everything like that.
Yeah.
Lots of wings.
Oh, gotcha. Cool. Maybe this is just a bad angle.
I think so, but yep. If they were metal, I don't think they'd stick on it. You remember like the old giants trying to get their like arms to stick in, you had to like pin that and draw it. Yeah, those metal wings, you'd never get them on there.
Terrence, the big boy.
Terrence.
Page 34 too. Oh my gosh, that dryad killing an undead thing. Anyways, the art, I just can't. The Wood Elves, I have so much nostalgia. This is my first army, so I just have so much nostalgia for this army. So let's talk about them. Let's talk about the lore of the wilds, which used to be the lore of Athaloran.
Let's talk about.
So lore of the wilds, Brooks pointed this out to me specifically before we started recording that you can only gain this by getting, what is it? A 15 point magic item. Is that right?
the Host of Talzin Army of Infamy and the magic item that we, I don't know if we said what its name was, but yes, that's the other way of doing it if you're not part of the Army of Infamy.
That is the Heartwood Pendant.
Yes, that sounds right.
For 15 points. Arcane item, so that's pretty incredible. And then we went into a little tirade of, huh, does that work with the troll thing too? Certainly does. So, and Dan said the new Beastman lore is the same way as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So that's pretty neat, but... Brooks, what kind of signature spell are we working with here, man?
We got an anti-range signature spell for them. Enchantment, pretty straightforward. Until the start of your next turn or phase, whatever. Any enemy model that directs a shooting attack at the caster or any unit they have joined must reroll any rolls to hit of a natural six. And this is a signature spell for an edition where shooting is not good.
Yeah, that's a pretty poopy spell.
Yep. Hey, Brooks, a little virtual high five for cannons, baby. Yeah.
This is one of those, like, unless you know you're playing a gun line, I would almost, this spell sounds useless.
Yeah, unless I'm going up against like Drake guns or something that's going to really pack a punch, I'm not quite sure what to do with it. You know, that said, some high competitive armies out there, Dark Elves, they run a lot of like Dark Shards or Riders that are going to have a lot of artillery.
Yep.
No, not artillery, missile firing. There are going to be some applications out there, but I feel like it's going to be a very limited list of where you might really consider bringing this to the table.
Honestly, it's anti-Wood Elf.
Right?
it's anti-itself, which is actually kind of hilarious.
And the 8+, and the range is self. It's just the model and their unit. Why is this not a 7+? I don't understand. Yep. Like, and only natural 6s? Like, not even like reroll hits? I don't know. This seems extremely underpowered.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, just napkin math. We're talking about what? Reducing incoming missile shots by, you know, roughly a third, maybe?
Ish.
Quarter, ballpark, depending on the army that's shooting at you.
Yeah, I feel like on average, things are hitting on 5s and 6s anyway. Sure. So, yeah, by a third, like, oh no, you hit me once instead of twice. That was so worth this spell.
Yeah, enjoy your strength 3, no AP, you know, hit, whatever.
Yeah, in an army that usually wants multiple small units as well. So,
yeah, I don't see it. So hopefully the rest of the lore is worth. So imagine you're spending 15 points on your caster to take this lore in a grand army. It's that's a super common item at least, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank goodness.
Dan, talk us a little bit about number one.
Oh, it's a magic missile. I love those. Oh, there's no hag tree fetish in this book.
We can't always be perfect, all right?
All right, so this is the Fury of Athalorin. Magic missile, 10+ to cast. So, woof. Range 18, I think it says.
Yep.
And the target enemy unit suffers D3+1, strength 6, hits each with an AP of 2, and multiple wounds 2. Yo, what? That's a
now we're starting.
Magic missile.
That should have been the signature spell, right?
Yes! that seems a bit much for a signature, but maybe not. 10+ is not...
Yeah, that's their thing. They're shooting everybody.
Like, yeah.
Wow, I love that spell.
Yeah.
But you have to roll a 1 to get it, or take the familiar that lets you pick your spells.
So now we're spending 15 points. You probably can't take the familiar as well, right? Because that's probably an arcane item.
Well, you said the dark heart thing is super common.
Extremely common.
Oh, so you can take 2 arcanes if one of them is extremely common?
Yeah.
Cool. I don't know how to play this game, man. but no, that spell is incredible. And I mean, the next one is kind of nice, too. It's an enchantment 9+, range 10 inches. Until the start of your next turn subphase, the target friendly unit gains regen 5+.
Nice.
Let's put a pin in that, though, because it's nice for the elf side of the list, but the tree side all has regen natively to begin with.
What's there?
Yeah, but it's only a 6, right?
So at least it's a plus 1, effectively.
Sure. But I mean, hey, that's not bad.
No. Yeah,
you know, let's go from their signature spell to these first two. Like, holy moly. All right.
Big upgrade.
Well, then I wouldn't trade that for a signature in a heartbeat.
Oh, absolutely not.
No. I mean, I would be fine rolling either of these spells so far, 100%.
Unfortunately, the next one is a blast, but Burke, tell us about it.
So we got a magical vortex, remains in play, 3-inch blast template, center, 15-inch casting range. While in play, the template is treated as dangerous terrain, which is very helpful for Wood Elf armies in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
The template moves d6 in a random direction during every set of turn subphase, so no pillar directing where it goes, unfortunately. Any enemy unit that moving template touches or moves over suffers 3d6 strength, 2 hits, each with an AP of minus 1.
That's a lot of hits!
Okay. It is, but it's strength 2, and it's AP 1. Now, a lot of times what we see with kind of low strength, high hits, is they'll let it get through armor. That's one of the reasons yeah. Battle Pads is so strong. And a lot of other ones will still do it, but they'll do it for like, you know, 2d6, 3d6 hits, whatever. Here, we just get an AP of minus 1. So I don't feel like I'm in love with it. You got a low chance of hitting and a low chance of actually getting through and actually inflicting a wound. So it's good against like light infantry or something like that. But in a game, in addition right now, where we see high toughness, things yeah. happening around. I mean, toughness 6 or 7, then you can wound against 6 on that, or you're not going to be able to wound it.
Yeah.
I think it's going to have, I'll double check, but I think it has to be a 7 or 8 to not be hurt by
it's,
two.
It's a 4 difference. So yeah, if it's a 7, it uses straight up immune to this.
So where I can see this being used kind of efficiently or effectively is plomp it right down in the middle of a dwarf war machine line or an empire war machine line and just use your 3d6 and pray. Right? Just pray for a good roll. You know, you get like, hey, I don't know, 11, 12 hits, maybe you should drop a war machine, hopefully, right? The dwarves are going to be a little hard. I can't remember if they have light or heavy armor. They don't have full plates, so they're going to be rocking a 5-up. Most
likely. You can wound up to toughness 7 on 6 pluses here.
Yeah. So that might be super nice. Again, it feels like you said, Brooks, it's either anti-infantry, which not a lot of people are playing, or it's anti- like war machine gun line, which it could work.
I like the dangerous terrain part of it, so you could plop it yes. in front of something you don't like, especially a unit that's smaller, doesn't want to take excess wounds. That could be really nice. I feel like this one's more of a distraction than there for damage. Like this is no pillar of fire. Sure. You know, this isn't going to be killing units probably, but that dangerous terrain could be a huge pain.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the nice things about when you, maybe not nice things, but when you're running dryads, you know, if you run them in skirmishers, you have no rank bonus of any kind. If you run them in open order, you can get up to 2. So you really need to find a way to kind of hurt. And if you're doing that approach, you need to find a way to stop your opponent from having any kind of static combat results they can get. And anything kind of dangerous terrain that they have to fight in, like what's one of the best uses of tree singing in my mind, it really kind of is a significant bonus in my mind. But, Taylor, want to guess what the toughness on a grudge thrower cannon or organ gun is?
Is it 6 or 7?
7.
Is it 7? So you can wound it because it stops at 7, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Strength 2 against toughness 7? I think that's a no.
It is a 6. I just checked the quick reference there.
Nice.
Because toughness 1 can hurt up to strength 1 can hurt up to toughness 6. Strength 2 can hurt up to 7, yeah. And so on.
Good point. Okay.
Yeah, 3 is 8, 4 is 9, and then 5 is forever.
Huh. So yeah, I mean, you can 3d6 against something with 3 wounds. You just got to roll. Well, yeah, you got to roll 3 sixes. Not unlikely, not super unlikely, but
right,
you might get something out of it. Sure.
Yeah. Right. And going up against, I think Empire only have light armor if they even have armor on their war machines. So
yeah,
you know, popping war machines there, and then you know, stupid other elves only have 2 wounds. On their war machines.
Also, if it... Oh, never mind. I was going to say against Empire, it's toughness 3, but it's a war machine, so it's...
Yeah.
War machine toughness, so never mind. How about the next spell here? I love this. Durthu reference. Durthu's Absolutely. Wrath. Durthu mentioned.
Guess we're not appearing in this Arcane Journal.
Yeah, right? We got Orion instead. Sadly, this is an assailment on elves. Elf mages don't want to be in combat. This, I guess it could be on a tree lord, potentially.
Yes,
so, absolutely, yes. That's not terrible. 10 plus, again, to cast. These are high casts. So far, we got 10, 9, 10, 10. Oof. All right. Obviously, range is combat. So each model in the fighting rank of a unit that the caster is engaged with must immediately make an initiative test. Each model that fails this test suffers D3 strength 4 hits, with no armor save permitted. Warden regeneration save is taken as normal. Ow! This is a fantastic assailment.
Oh, it's tree whack.
It's a super tree whack. This is per model, not just against the unit.
D3 strength 4 hits per model that fails the initiative test, but like ogres, dwarves, lizard men all hate this. Mm-hmm. Undead.
Even empires
elves have above average initiative.
Chaos and elves, I think, are default 4, and elves get the elven reflexes for the first round.
And stupid Skaven.
Oh, yeah, Skaven are really fast, too. So nobody's I feel like Skaven this. Now. I mean, on average, people are going to fail this half the time.
Yeah.
If they're faster, they're going to fail it a third of the time, or just on sixes in a lot of cases. So this seems. Anyone that fails D3 strength 4 is. That's almost certainly a dead model. With no armor saves. That's fantastic.
It is definitely a solid spell, yeah.
Being able to throw this up against like a unit of knights if they somehow failed the charge or something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Be devastating. Absolutely devastating.
Is it particular cavalry that don't have counter charge?
Right,
charging
exactly.
To them. I like this one a lot, especially on like a tree man.
Big old tree man.
Whatever they're called now.
Tree man engines.
Yep.
It is a bit of a slow play, unfortunately, because you have to do it by the model. So, like, you know, you might want to take out that champion to figure out how that works. Whether it's, you know, you're not going to get overflow hits from one model to another if you take it out with the first wound or the first hit if you did two or more, which is unfortunate, but I don't know that it's the worst thing. If you're not going to cast it that many times, I wouldn't imagine. So,
right.
Probably not a giant impact.
That one lucky time, though, that you charge into that unit of knights and the either, like, it's not an electric count. I don't know what the knight lord is called in Empire.
Commander, general,
yeah, whatever they are. And you just freaking mega tree whack him off his horse, like it's gonna be incredible.
Mega tree whack him,
mega tree whack, Durthu's wrath.
And I then like he gets this one, except that it's an assailment, it's like on a tree lord, sure, on an elf mage, I don't like it because I don't want them, especially wood elf mage, don't want them in combat anyway,
yeah. It feels almost like it was made for the tree spirits, but at the same time, like your nothing branch wraiths are level 1 or level 2. Nothing. See, they hate tree spirits for some reason.
Yeah.
But they're level 1, level 2 branch wraiths. So you need to hope to roll a 4, which kind of oopsie. You know,
right, they're pretty high casting value. I think, too, at the same time, looking at this like within its own lore, I still would not switch this out for the signature spell.
Oh, yeah, I'd keep all of them.
Again, unless I knew that I was up against, like, if I'm up against a heavy dwarf gun line, maybe I'd keep the signature.
Maybe.
For this one.
But again, you're going to be taking war machine shots, not so much, you know. But anyways, let's see if the next one holds up. We've got Hidden Pathways. So it's a conveyance, 8 plus to cast, range 12. Until your next start of turn subphase, the target friendly unit gains the reserve move special rule and may perform a quick turn, even if it would not normally be able to do so. Incredible. Yep. Incredible. Movement is key in this game. Wood elves are key at moving. This is incredible. I would not swap this out for the signature spell.
No way. I'm never a fan of these ones that give you reserve move because I just want to be charging and marching all the time. But it's like, no, you have to realize that's not going to be the case for every unit, especially wood elves getting this.
Yep.
And quick turn is nice. I'm pretty sure that just lets you do a 90-degree turn.
Yep.
Yeah.
So does that stack with Lumbria and your behemoths?
I think so.
I don't know, man. I just work here.
Because that's really kind of helpful for like a Treatment Ancient or something like that.
Right.
You're constantly trying to stay out of people's charge arcs or something like that and just kind of shoot them down with spells, always soften them up with them before, you know, committing to any kind of melee.
Let's see here. Lumbering.
Unless a charged march or fled can pivot around a center change facing up to 90 degrees.
That's a quick turn?
That's lumbering.
Lumbering. Gotcha. Man, that's a thing?
Yeah. Monsters get it. And heavy chariots.
I should remember that for my... big lady.
Let's see. Quick turn. Same exact thing. After moving, unless a charge, march, or fled, a unit that is in open order formation. Oh, open order may pivot about its center up by to change its facing up to 90 degrees.
Oh.
Wait, are you saying for lumbering or are you saying for...
That's quick turn. It says a unit that's in open order formation.
Yeah, so this is bypassing that. This is giving it to you without having to be open order.
No. The quick turn says, the rule quick turn says, if you're in open order, you get to do the move, the turn. right, Dan?
Yeah. So, like,
so with the spell is and may perform a quick turn even if it would not normally be able to do so.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, read the last line of the spell.
Cool. Reading's important, turns out.
Yeah. Rules.
Reading's very important. Well, that's pretty dope.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Hey, Brooks, round us off, would you?
Yeah, sure. So finally, we have Sapling Blight. Casting value 9, range 12, hex. Until your next start of turn subphase, the target enemy unit suffers minus D3 modifier to its strength characteristics, minimum 1. This spell may target an enemy unit engaged in combat. Nice.
Nice.
If this spell is cast, the effects of any other hex previously cast on that target unit immediately expire. I mean, that's okay. I'm fine with that. Cutting down the chance to wound you. I feel like a lot of hex spells knock off any other hex spells that are already on somebody.
Yep.
I can't really think of any great hex ones that the trees have access to begin with. And when I say trees, I mean what else? So I'd be okay with these.
They're all trees. Yeah, I still would not swap that out for the signature spell.
No.
I don't know when I would take that signature spell. I really just don't.
All of these are better. And like Sapping Blight, I'm not a huge fan of the super short range hex spells. Like 12 inches is really close. But you're going to be using this probably later in the game. You know, this is a slow burn here, I think, when they're, you know, because it's only going to be useful using things that are in combat against you to lower their strength.
Yep.
So I also like the idea of like putting a mage on like a bird and flying around and getting extra range out of it that way. So lowering strength is nice. You're going to take less wounds that way.
Yeah. Or, you know, if you just have your wizard within 3 inches of a infantry unit or something to kind of hide them, they're on foot, so they can't be like sniped out. Here you go. When somebody kind of comes at you and your infantry has to get in, you can now support them without having to actually be in that block because you can shoot into combat. I can appreciate that.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I think that's necessary for this spell to be useful at all. If you couldn't cast it into combat, I think it would be just useless.
With a 12-inch range, what would you do with that otherwise?
Right, because you have to cast it before somebody charges or before you charge into them, which you can do as a hex in the same turn, but yeah, I wouldn't like it at all if you couldn't cast it into combat.
So I'm looking at other available lores of magic for wood elves, and there are some hexes that you would like to keep. However, one of them is the only one that I found so far that is in combat would be Plague of Rust. So it's minus 2 armor.
Oh, yeah.
Well, right? So I think really kind of brings up a different question. Would you ever take this instead of the default ones, which are battle, elemental, and if you have a branched wraith, illusion, and for the elf mages, you can get high?
There are some. There are some. What's the word I'm looking for? Things here that you could like Durthu's Wrath.
Yep.
Right. Battle magic. I think it was battle magic. Maybe it was a different one that you could lower initiative. There was one you could lower initiative.
Just that first spell, that magic missile.
Storm Call
is awesome.
Elementalism.
Yep. Storm Call. So you can lower initiative and then Durthu's Wrath, which is nice, but that's pretty, I don't know. That's if you happen to roll Durthu's Wrath, right?
And probably multiple mages to do that.
Correct. Correct. So there are some nice synergies. There we go. Woo. That took me a while.
You got there.
I made it finally. Sapping, but I feel like this works much better for a fully forest spirit army. To be perfectly honest, because you don't have any shooting, so now you have a magic missile. You can make your dryad hordes regen 5+ instead of 6, which is great. That torrent to get rid of other people's shooting or clear some chaff or whatever. Super mega tree whack is awesome. Make your trees have quick turn and reserve move, which is great. And then that sapping blight, so that way, because you don't have armor, now you're not going to get hit as hard. So I feel like this works really well with tree spirits.
Yeah.
Is it better than elementalism? I don't know.
It's tough to compare anything to battle magic and not just go battle magic.
Right? Yeah. Color file. Fire is just so dope.
Yeah.
It is. And Hammer Hand is great on your tree spirits or something to really get them in. You know, some of the things that the elementalism does give you that instead is you still have the Wind Blast, which is a pretty solid
Yeah.
magic missile still. Strength 5, D3 plus 3 hits, AP minus 1. Not as powerful on the AP front, but it's still good. The Plague of Rust, as you were saying a moment ago, larger range. Earthen Rampart's getting ward saving your tree spirits, whereas they already have regen. So you either have a 6 plus or a 5 up on your regen to begin with, whereas ward is going to be entirely new. You have no other way really getting on them other than spells because they can't take magic items.
Right.
So I am, if I had to choose between the two of them, it would be a bit of a toss-up. I don't know that I would ever go to Lore Wilds other than just try it out.
Sure, yeah.
I will tell you, I got to try this with my my daughter. We got a brief game in just to play around with it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I didn't roll any of the ones I really wanted, and I never got to any of the other ones. So far, my only experience with Lore of the Wilds has been kind of disappointing.
Naturally.
Which just leaves a bad taste in your mouth. But,
I can't wait to talk about the Beastman lore next week.
I know, right?
It's so good.
Bad taste in your mouth. Having tree spirits cast Pillar of Fire and Fireball is also just really funny.
yeah, agreed.
You know, but no, I don't know if it is better. Battle Magic is so good.
It is.
Yeah,
it's so good. Elementalism is not bad either, but Battle Magic is just so good.
It drives me nuts that Bray Shamans can't take Battle Magic.
Fuck off.
What else do you need?
I want Beastmen to be the best always and forever.
They're doing pretty damn good.
I right? know. I'm how so many, happy. They're actually good.
How many
good.
Of those stupid gore things do you have? Those gigantic things that Andy doesn't ever want you to mention in front of him again?
The Gorgon?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I love that boy.
No, screw
I
that.
I need
thing.
Another one. I haven't gotten a second one yet, but I'm gonna.
Before I get pissed off about it, let's talk about some magic items, shall we?
Sure.
So, how's their magic weapons? Oh, they don't have like a suit, like Excalibur weapon.
Yeah, the highest is 55 points. It's called Vol's Wrath, and it's pretty interesting. It's range 32 inch, strength plus 1, AP 2, flaming attacks, magic attacks, multiple wounds 2. So once per game, unless the wielder moved during the previous movement phase, Vol's Wrath can be shot like a bolt thrower using the through and through special rule. So it's a one-use bolt thrower.
I mean, the rest of the time, it's just strength, probably 5, AP 2,
yep.
Flaming, magical, multiple wounds 2 is kind of nice, against, like, monstrous infantry or cavalry.
Mm-hmm.
And at least this way, you got a bolt thrower on something that has ballistic skill.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. And you can take the kindred to get a plus 1 strength as well, so you can push up to a 6 both in melee when you do shoot as a bolt thrower.
Nice.
Actually.
It seems decent.
You can put it on a Glade Lord with Ballista Skill friggin' 7.
Okay. I don't hate this. Particularly because it's this army. If you had the same stat line in another army, I'd be like, 55 points seems like a lot. But when it's elves hitting on, like, 2s, re-rolling some 1s probably, like, okay, now it's pretty good.
And there's that flaming attack from the tree folks.
True. You can keep him in line, you know. Hey, we've got his flaming bolt thrower. Maybe if you just calm down about it. Dwarf Lords, Ballistico 4. Moving on.
They don't need ballistic skill. They're just going to headbutt you.
Right?
Well, look, even the Wood Elves dog catchers have ballistic skill 4. So.
You know, anyways.
Yeah, you need to listen to last week's episode. If you There's a great point. Where he doesn't even have a missile weapon and he's BS4.
Oh,
How about Daith's Reaper here for 40 points? This sounds cool.
That's what they used to call me in high school.
The combat weapon, strength plus 1, AP 1, magical attacks. All right, but enemy models must reroll any successful armor save rolls against wounds caused by this weapon.
It's interesting.
For 40 points?
Yeah.
That seems overpriced.
I agree.
Not by much. It's close enough I would consider it. I agree with you, it's a little on the high side, but...
What does that compare to Sword of Might that does almost the same thing?
Hang on.
Let me see. Sword of Might is plus 1 strength, AP 1 magic attacks for 20 points. You're paying 20 points to force them to reroll successful armor saves. That seems like too much.
So I'm trying to think of a use case here, right? And I feel like it's a single hero level just the first thing that popped in my mind. Single hero level elf dude riding around like a horse or an eagle or a warhawk or something like that. It's just like, hey, I'm going to chase down that dude over there in a Pegasus. But then he just get minced, you know? So
I think it's one of those that when it works, it's going to be awesome when somebody's like, oh, I made my saves. And like, ah, you got to reroll it. And then they all turn to failures. This is going to be the best weapon.
Yeah, except it's like reverse Vile Tide.
what?
It's just where you're like, oh, I didn't make any of my wound rolls. And then you roll like 17 sixes and hey, just kill greater demons.
I got what you're saying. But yes, but I think, again,
it's eh.
So if you got this on a character, they're probably stuck in a challenge against something that has like a 3-up armor. You're at -1, so it's a 4-up. So again, you could be improving your wound chances by 50%. That starts to sound pretty good.
Yeah.
Depending on their armor. Interesting, this gets, in a way, it almost gets better the higher their armor is. Well, maybe not.
Mm. All right, so Dan,
depends on how many they made in the first place, I guess.
Well, okay, Dan, so, go ahead, Brooks.
Well, I was going to say, you know, you're that 2-up Dwarf Lord, or, you know, certain Shaggoth might be coming down the pipe soon.
Yeah.
Would this be the weapon that you would want to go up against them with?
No.
That was a resounding and very easy no as well.
I mean, there's an answer, isn't there?
If you want to get rid of armor, there's the Biting Blade. AP 2, Armor Bane 1 for 15 points.
Like, yeah. Honestly,
25 points less. I love the Biting Blade in general.
For 10 points less, you get a Giant Blade, right? AP 2, multiple wounds 2.
I hate
Armor Bane 2, excuse me.
I hate the Giant Blade because I never roll the Armor Bane in Miami. I always have armor against it.
But like 10 points less, you know what I mean? Five points more, you get Killing Blow, but it doesn't, you know. But,
okay, another subtle disappointment from the Arcane Journal. This seems to be a pattern that we've seen throughout the whole book so far.
Sure. Mm,
like, it's so close to being a great weapon.
So for 5 points less, you can get the Huntmaster's Pride. Which is strength. Oh, yes. I thought that was 5. I was like, wait, what? This weapon is just strength 5 when you use it in combat. No, strength. AP 2, magical attacks, multiple wounds 2. I love it.
That sounds great taken, so far.
Right? Can only be taken by models in an Orion's Wild Hunt army of infamy. Multiple wounds 2 special rule applies only against models whose troop type is monstrous infantry, monstrous cavalry, monstrous creature, or behemoth.
Oh, so characters on horses, you don't get multiple wounds against.
Correct.
Yep. Or characters on foot. And you have to be... Orion's Wild Hunt's not bad if you want the cavalry, but I like this weapon until the note.
Yeah, I think the Orion's Wild Hunt requirement kind of made it dead to me. I was not a huge fan of that structure.
Yeah, but again, it's strength user, so it's strength 4.
Maybe 5 if you take the kindred, depending.
Right, but at the same time, you're going up against, like, specifically, you want to go up against monsters, which are typically, like, a small monster's toughness 4, monster's infantry, right? And that's ogres. So, and you don't want to get eaten by ogres. So,
it's not a huge, it's not a pretty attractive.
No.
It's not. Your other option
is you could take the giant blade.
for those multiple, I do like that it's AP 2 with multiple wounds. That's nice. But
yeah, the multiple wounds is really nice.
Yeah, again, I think adding all these limitations.
Yeah, but the multiple wounds is limited, like you were saying. It's hard to see it.
Yeah, I mean, it's too easy to get around it with your enemy. Like again, you have this on a character, probably. You're going up against other characters. If they're riding a monster, cool. But like you said, they're only strength 4 or 5.
Yep.
So you're wounding on 6s, probably.
Right.
So I don't know. This one, I say this one's not bad, but I'm not in love with it.
Hey, Brooks, talk to us about the 25.1 where I'm like, oh, that's neat.
Oh, Blades of Endless Flame, you know, back to having trees running around with fire. Yeah. The combat strength user, AP -1, extra attack 1. Okay. Flaming attacks, magic attacks. Man, that's it. That's a pretty straightforward kind of vanilla weapon, really.
Straight garbage.
Yeah, for 25 right in points. The trash.
Flaming attack is more of a detriment than a boon in this game.
It is at this point.
Yeah, for real.
How many things get an extra ward save specifically against flaming attacks versus how many things are flammable with regeneration?
So honestly, for 5 points less, the Berserker Blade.
Right.
You know what I mean? You get Frenzy, so you get the plus one attack, and it's strength plus one.
Yeah, I don't like this one at all.
I mean, what's the Burning Blade is 5 points, is it, for flaming attacks? So you're basically paying an extra 20 points for one AP and an extra attack.
Yep.
The extra attack part is really nice. But yeah, most of the vast majority of the time, flaming attacks aren't going to do anything, or they're going to give your opponent an extra ward save. Like, what out there doesn't, like, because how they changed regeneration, what out there does have flammable and regeneration? Trolls, a couple Tomb King things.
That's about it.
I can't think of anything else. I'm sure there's another unit or two, but not even Tree Spirits, right?
No, Tree Spirits are flammable. You mean regeneration without flammable?
No, what are the things out there that have regeneration and flammable?
Oh, yeah, I think Tree Spirits.
Tree Spirits, yeah. They're regen 5 plus and flammable.
Okay,
flammable.
So they should, but like...
I don't know if Dryads are. Hang on.
I don't know. I don't like this one because I feel like flaming attacks just don't work as well as they used to. When they used to cause fear in cavalry, that was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think they still cause fear in war beasts, but who cares? War beasts
they
are,
do. Yeah,
they're right. Always crappy units anyway.
But the thing, I'm trying to think of who you would put this on, and like nobody. You know?
Yeah, especially for 25 points. Like, again, like, common magic weapons are just better.
A Shadow Dancer Lord, but no.
For 20, again, 25 points. I mean, right. I would never take, well, not on elves, the Sword of Swiftness is the same point cost, but you wouldn't take that on elves because they're probably initiative first anyway.
Yeah.
But again, for 5 points less, you can have the Sword of Might and be strength 1, AP 1.
Yep. I'd much rather have that.
Then one more attack? Nah.
Womp womp.
Sorry, Brooks, garbage.
I want to go back to Daith's Reaper.
Okay.
And like, you know, it's a 40-point magic weapon, like the Bow of Lauren doesn't exist. You know what I mean? Which allows you to shoot the amount of shots that you have attacks, and you can give it special Azrae tipped arrows. Why would I not take that?
Right. Yeah, that's you know? Way better.
Anyways, so moving swiftly on, maybe the armor's better, right? The Mantle of Rebirth. It comes back.
You're gonna have good armor.
It's coming back. It's a regen 5 plus.
That's armor. Actually great. 40
points.
Is that?
That's 40 points, yeah. Is
that comparable to other armies? That seems really expensive.
Talisman of Protection is what, 30, 35 points?
So, or you could take the Armor of Silvered Steel for a 3-up armor save. Like, I don't know, man.
I feel like that. How much are the Trollhide trousers?
Like 30, maybe.
That seems expensive.
Dan, I just closed that one.
Why?
You're questions. You ask me all the questions.
I don't know. I want to compare this because that sounds really expensive.
And contrast?
Well, Trollhide trousers, 40 points. So that's a 5-up regen and it improves your armor by 1. So you're paying the same price, but you don't get the plus 1 to the armor.
Yeah, it's just light armor. So,
and those are, what are the troll trousers anyway? They just wore on top of the armor. This is just a default light armor, so you have a 6-up.
Yeah, these are just pants. The troll head trousers are just pants. Yeah. Oh my gosh. But are they? They're super common too, aren't they? Troll head trousers.
I think so.
Why can't I find these?
I just closed the book.
That's right. I'm opening right now.
Yep, extremely common.
Oh, I'm dumb. They're in the, not the Arcane. I was looking at the Arcane Journal. Not where they are. Okay, yeah, so it's pretty comparable to Trollhide trousers. Not, I feel like not quite as good, because like you said, the Trollhide gives you plus 1 armor instead of counting as light armor.
Right.
So.
Yeah, so you can put Trollhide trousers on a mage with no issues.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't put this on a mage. That's a really good point.
Or your black orc war boss that's going to be like now running around with a 2+5-op light.
Oh yeah, no, you would much rather do that. But I'm just saying, you can put this on the Trollhide trousers on a mage.
Yeah, it's too bad that the regen is on armor and not a talisman.
That would make it more attractive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, or you could just take a rune of iron and get a whole extra wound about it.
You know, stop it with your rune nonsense. So yeah,
or you know, an extra terrible. Plus one toughness.
It's just so funny to compare it to like the high elf seed of rebirth. That's like 15 points for just a 5+ ward save or regen. Or no, oh, is there a 6+? Am I going crazy?
Do Taylor and I look like high elf players to you?
Yeah, right.
I don't know. You could be if you were cool.
Wow. Wow. Oh man, guys, this has been fun. We're gonna leave now. the seed of rebirth is 20 points and it's regen 5+. So it's half the amount, no light armor. So you can put it on anybody.
Yeah, it's the best. And it's super common.
Oh, it's the best. It's so good.
High elves always had cheaper magic items. That's part of their stuff.
Yeah, because they
nonsense. Yeah, we know.
Because they're better.
Because they're just so better, aren't they, Dan? Dan, tell us about the cloak of tumbling leaves, would you?
Ooh, there's leaves that are tumbling in a cloak form. So you have to be regular infantry or heavy infantry. I don't know why it doesn't just say infantry, but okay. The cloak of tumbling. What's that?
Monsters infantry, which you can't put this on anyway because you don't have any monsters infantry characters.
Yeah. So I don't know. There's a suit of light armor. Oh, in addition, its wearer has a fly 10 and swift stride. Special rule. However, they cannot join a unit. I don't know.
Oh, I love that.
What's that?
Shadow Strider or Shadow Dancer, whatever.
A Shadow Dancer. So unfortunately, it's 30 out of their 50 points.
But fly right? 10 and Swift Stride, if you like want a glass cannon here and just have, you know, basically a goblin doom diver, but a elf that's just gonna throw itself at a unit and kill stuff.
I don't think I still have my old Wood Elf book, but man, do you remember that little mage killer that I used to make?
Dan? The altar guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was brutal. Again, I wish this was a talisman or not armor, because this would be so great on a wizard, and you can't do that.
No.
Or if it was like wizards could wear, if it's a cloak of tumbling leaves, but it makes it so your wizard can't cast spells, that seems foolish. Because it's so close to being a cheaper and better carpet, but it's armor.
So, contrast here. Cloak of Feathers from the Lizardman list, 40 points. Skink Heroes, whose troop type is infantry only. The wearer of the Cloak of Feathers gains the Fly 10 and Swift Stride special rules. So it's a cheaper version, but you can't join a unit.
And it's just not armor. Anyway.
Yeah, again, I just wish this wasn't armor.
Fair.
And I wouldn't want to take this over, well, I don't know, because Wood Elves are known for not having a bunch of armor. Like I said, it's going to be a glass cannon character anyway, so don't hate it, don't love it.
I'm trying to find that darn book.
Which one?
The one that I used to do the Altar Lord in, because it was so much fun.
The 7th edition.
It was 6th edition, actually.
What, really?
Yeah, man.
Because he'd have like 6 attacks or something with his bow that was like, AP or had like no armor and poison or something like that.
Yeah, he was movement 9. I remember that. And he would have like 6 or 7 attacks, and then I would give him a potion of either strength or something like that. Oh, no, it was like potion of foolhardiness or something. So it gave him extra strength and attacks.
Nice.
And then you give him some ridiculous magic weapons and all that sort of stuff. So he would just charge in like turn 1 or 2 into a level 4 wizard who only had a 4+ ward save, and I was throwing out like 10 attacks and just be like, all right, save at least 7 of these.
He was pretty dope.
He was so awesome. I'll have to look that up later. Oh my gosh, I miss him so much. I was so janky with with old Wood Elves, because you had to be.
It was fun too, and it was one of those that actually wasn't bad for the opponent. Like, it was still fun for the opponent.
Well, yeah, because then the unit would mince this dude because he had no saves.
Yeah, he would immediately die.
Right?
Or right? But I took out steam tank blowing up.
Screw you.
My favorite moments of our gaming times ever.
Oh, God, it was so good. So I'll go over the two talismans real quick. The first one is 30 points, gives magic resistance 2.
Super standard.
Yep. And then Orion's Favor is 25 points. It's single use. Reroll a fail to hit or wound made during the combat phase. And it's any fail to hit or wounds. And or wounds, excuse me.
I don't.
So
for one reroll, 25 points?
No. It's all of them. Reroll any failed to hit and to wound rules.
Oh!
Yes.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, actually. So it's one combat phase, you get to reroll everything.
I love that because I never rolled to hit successfully.
Yeah, you really don't. It's really bad. it's really bad. So yeah, we don't have like the big saber sword, but we do have a big tapestry.
Sure do.
We have a big old banner. Brooks, you want to read it off to us?
Yeah. BSB host of Talzin, even for me only. A model carrying the tapestry of Talzin increases their command range to 18.
Okay.
In addition, friendly units within the bearer's command range improve their leadership characteristic by 1. Kind of high on elves to begin with, but okay. 80 points.
It's so dumb.
I don't mind the effects. I think it's a decent in that regard, but at 80 points, no.
Just it's no. So dumb.
Well, first of all, you have to have a BSB, which why? Yeah. Why in most armies, why in the world would you have that with wood elves? You're going to be all over the table. Yeah, 18 Thanks. Inches is nice for reroll break tests, I guess, but you're in combat, so it's not good anyway. I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
20 points, sure. 80?
Yeah.
80.
It's absurd.
Why?
Go from leadership 9 to leadership 10. Whoop-de-doo.
Well, like, what is the dwarf banner rune? Is
the master rune of Grugni for 80 points. It's BSB as well. A unit carrying this standard has a 5-up ward save for any wounds at all, ever.
Yeah. In addition, so much better. That's
while within 6 useful. Inches of the model carrying the standard, friendly units have a 6-up ward save against any wounds suffered in the shooting phase.
So good.
It's incredible.
Actually worth 80 points.
Yeah. Contrasted here against one of extra 12 inch on your range and leadership buff to the guy near you. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
Okay. It's dead
to
us.
Do we have any wee to balance out this woo? How about the banner of the wild hunt?
There's some fun things coming up.
Yeah, Dan, tell us about it.
This has got to be good, right? It's only 25 points. It's about the Wild Hunt. That sounds awesome. Got to be an Orion's Wild Hunt army. Kind of guessed that from the name. When calculating its combat result, a unit carrying this banner may claim an additional bonus of +1. In addition, the unit may reroll pursuit rules.
That's not bad.
That's not terrible. It's effectively worth 3 victory points or combat res points by itself.
Yeah.
That's pretty great. Reroll pursuit rolls. Okay.
Especially
sometimes
in a
you don't go
list?
Far enough. And
you know
it's
I mean?
Not failed or anything. So like if you caught him and you don't want to for some reason, you could reroll it, I guess.
I mean the war banner is 25 points to begin with. That's just a straight 1 combat res already. So
right. And this is the list that you want to like you want wild riders chasing people down. So
my goodness, they actually have like above average magic item. This right? is crazy. We got a winner, folks. Here's the wee. Right
and
after
then,
the woo of the tapestry of Talzin.
Then we go back to woo.
Oh, no.
We go back to woo.
Oh, yeah.
If you wanted a unit to spend their 25 points of standard magic point allotment, then you can do the signature spell.
Oh, no.
War of the Wilds.
Why? No, power level this two. Is terrible. You should get points back if you take this item. Good lord. Of all the 7 spells, they had to pick the objectively worst one. Probably the worst spell in the game.
Yep. Yep.
And you have to take this before you know who you're fighting.
Yeah. At least the other way, like, you know, it might be worth it if you have, are against the right army. You don't know this when you're writing this list.
It's so bad.
Terrible.
It's so bad.
I feel so bad for Wood Elf players so far. These items are garbage.
And we'll go through the last one real quick. Unit carrying the banner of Springtide gains the quick shot special rule for 20 points.
That's actually good.
Yeah, you move and shoot with no penalties, right? Or something like that?
And you can shoot if
you march.
Within their march, their charge distance.
Hell yeah. That's really good.
Yeah, quick shot's great. Yeah, on elves? Mm-hmm. I mean, I really like the idea of that on like Wild Riders. No, the other one, Glade Riders.
Yes.
Or even just Glade Guard, I guess, if you're taking shooting stuff.
Yeah.
Being able Warhawks. To get more movement with your shooting for only 20 points. That's a good banner. We got 2 good banners, I think.
The 2 good banners. Absolutely.
Because I'm assuming like Glade Guard can probably take a magic standard, right?
Maybe.
Or am I assuming too much here?
I keep closing them.
They yes, they can. A magic standard worth up to
25 points.
50 points.
50 points. That's what I said. I just said it wrong.
0 to 1 Glade Guard per 1,000 points. So, yeah, you could take a pretty big group of Glade Guard here to make it really worth it. But I don't hate this one.
Ooh, I thought we were going to live the dream. I was like, can you put this on Weight Watchers? But they can't take a
standard. Take a standard, you silly goose.
God, could you imagine?
I'm pretty sure scouts can't even take a standard.
I don't know, man.
Where are those? What are Deepwood Scouts?
They're under Wood Elf Archers.
Oh, they're in that same thing. So they can't do it. Only Glade Guard.
Haha, nerds.
What about Glade Riders? They can also, same thing. Yep. 0 to 1 per 1,000 points can take a magic standard up to 50 points. So it's got to be Glade Riders or Glade Guard.
Yep.
Unless I'm forgetting of another shooting unit in this.
There's Warhawk Riders, but you can't take them. Take a banner there.
Oh, yeah.
Unless there was something new. But I would imagine it's mostly like, wow, there's not a lot of new stuff.
Since it's on like your lowest level dudes here, it's not as good. But like with your, you know, give them Hagbane and now you have more poison shots. I always love poison. So,
yep.
I don't mind this banner. I feel like we got, what, two good magic items?
Well, we got another page still.
That's true. We still have enchanted and arcane items. Enchanted items is usually where I find my favorite stuff.
And honestly, the first one's not terrible.
Oh, that bow was pretty dope, yeah.
Yeah, the bow is good. But the Crown of Antlers... And here's what's that?
What does it do?
Here's why I like it. Okay, the reason I fell in love with Wood Elves was the Wood Elf Lord and a Great Stag model.
Oh, yeah.
And this is just... Hey, your Great Stag is going to charge in and do impact hits, but guess what? So is your Wood Elf Lord. So
It's the Ed Button app for elves.
Yeah, he gives it armor bane 1, impact hits D3, and the impact hits have an armor piercing of -2. It's not bad.
I'll take that.
It's not bad. 35 points.
Throw that Kindred on so their strength 5 impact hits. That's not bad at all.
Absolutely.
And then just give him a hunting spear. Who cares?
35 points. Yeah, this is arguably their best item so far, I think.
Moonstone of the Hidden Ways makes a comeback, 30 points. The bearer of the Moonstone of the Hidden Ways may cast the Forest Walker special rule from the lore of Athaloran as a bounce spell, power level 3 for 30 points. And for those of you that don't remember what that does, I will tell you once I find it. So
it's single use, too. You only get to do this once.
Oh, I missed that. So it's a conveyance, 10 plus 24 inch range, can target friendly wood elf character that's completely within a wooded terrain feature. If the character is not fleeing, you may immediately remove it from the battlefield and replace it so that it's completely within a different wood anywhere on the battlefield, but not within 6 inches of any enemy models.
It's a power level 3, so you have to roll a 7.
Yeah.
On 2d6, which is average, but that means you're only going to get this 50% of the time.
As a single use, yeah, that's kind of...
Just over 50% of the time.
You can pick up that spell to begin with just by dropping for a signature spell. It's not like you're getting a better one out of this book.
Anyway. Right, because you're doing Lore of the Athaloran signature spell. So I don't know if you need to... where you happen to be playing on the one board at the tournament where there's 17 woods on the table.
So something we covered last time is you can set it up. You take a grand army of wood elves and then army of infantry of wood elves. You get force to put on the board.
Nice. That's not a bad idea.
Side and then use that spell either through the item or through Athaloran lore to just kind of bounce back and forth between them.
Yeah. Hey, my tree amendment ancient is actually over here.
Something widows have always done, and it's awesome. Want to see more wood teleporting. 30 points to do this like 55% of the time, maybe a little bit more than that. No thanks.
Just take 3 casters and you have 3 instances of it.
Ooh, the next one's called Blight-Tipped Arrows. That sounds like poison, and I love poison.
Which is super common.
Yeah, it's super common. 15 points, a single use only. I'm done.
Yeah, Brooks, you read the rest.
Azrai Longbows only.
Yeah.
Blight-tipped arrows can be fired as normal from the bearer's Azrai Longbow. If an enemy model suffers unsaved wound from a Blight-tipped Arrow, at the beginning of each subsequent start of turn subphase, that model must make a toughness test. If the test has failed, the model immediately suffers a single wound with no armor or regen saves permitted. Warp saving is attempted as normal. Oh, so
you sure? Go ahead.
Think about like a Waystalker. They can snipe out an enemy character wherever they are. It's not great, but if you can hit them early in the game, you might get something out of it. It's a bit of a gamble, 15 points. I can see maybe playing around with it. I don't think it's super competitive, but...
Well, it's 15 points. You can take a ton of them.
Yeah.
It's super common.
Take a couple of Wastalkers. Each of them have one of these. First round of the game, they all just shoot out, try and snipe out that one character.
You're just shooting disease at people. This is so brutal.
I'm just not a huge fan of one-use items anyway. Yeah. You got to pay for it, and there's a very good chance it won't do anything because you have to hit. You have to wound. They have to fail their saves. They have to suffer an unsaved wound from a strength three bow.
That's the problem. We're talking about Wood Elves. You're not worried about hitting. They're ballistic skill 30. So,
and then the toughness test as well.
So, yeah, there's a failed toughness test. Yeah. Why is this not 5 points? Why is it 15?
Because it's so super common. There's
so many chances for it not to do anything.
Because it's super common.
Yeah, I mean, we know you can get up to a strength 5 shooting at somebody with this thing. 5 actually with a Lord. I'm not sure about Wastalkers off.
Hey, Brooks.
Yeah.
Can you your job this for me?
Oh God.
I take 3 of these. Uh-huh. I shoot the same character 3 times and I wound 3 times. Do they have to take 3 toughness tests at the beginning of every phase or only 1?
It doesn't say that it stacks. So I feel like we have seen throughout most Warhammers, if it doesn't specifically say it stacks, it does not.
You know what? If an enemy model suffers an unsaved wound from a blight tipped arrow, not this. Right.
Yeah, so that pretty heavily implies that you can shoot them a whole bunch of times. They can make one test.
So it's all the same disease. I didn't realize
Longbows were strength user. Like it says strength. I thought they were just strength 3. So that's actually a lot better than I thought.
Yep. Dan, the next item is going to make you happy. Go ahead and read that one.
Oh, the Orb of Midsummer
for
35 points once per turn. The bearer of the Orb of Midsummer may reroll a casting roll. It makes you as good as a high elf wizard.
Yeah, man. Shut up.
You forgot that one. You told me to read this one, didn't you? It's almost as good as Lily S. Blessing that they get for free.
Wow.
Baked into their points.
Wow. And they can only reroll failed casting rolls, though.
So I can do as many.
This actually arguably is better because it doesn't say a failed casting roll, so you can reroll a miscast.
And you don't have to be a high elf player to use it.
That's true.
Very true. You don't have to sell your soul.
You get to retain your dignity.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Good.
Hey, there's the Heartwood Pendant.
Yeah, and we talked about that one just because you have the new lore.
Yep.
I don't understand why those are 15 points. Again, 5 to be able to take a different lore or free. I don't know. Why does it cost that much?
I think because probably the lore of the wilds is more kind of like the troll lore. It's very niche, right? Niche or whatever. Where the lore of the wilds is like, all right, instead of just learning normal magic-y things like through elementalism or like battle magic that you would get taught as a mage, like this is the lore of Athelorn. Like this is the lore of the wilds, right? So it's a little bit more niche. I understand why they would make it cost more.
Is not it objectively this lore? Better lore though?
Not I don't this lore, think so. No.
Like, I don't understand. Like, I get that it's niche for the army, but why does it cost more points? Is it mechanically better? I don't think so.
Nope.
This should be like a free thing that maybe takes up an arcane. I don't know. Just make it 0 points, I guess. I don't know.
You might bring something in there, but I agree. It's kind of silly to have it at 15 points. You know, 5 points, 10 points. Okay.
I just don't understand why it costs any points. Like, it should just be a rule of the lore. Like, any wood, you know, spell singer or whatever they're called, you know, from the wood elf army can take this lore in addition to lores they already know. Just put that rule in there. Why is it not just there?
So the other thing, Dan, is the Hag's Brew costs 25 points. So this is actually 10 points less than getting the troll magic.
And they learned a little bit from then, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Also, I think troll magic is just better.
For trolls specifically, yeah.
For troll stuff, yeah.
I mean, you have to have big smarts or the army is unplayable.
It's
you know,
true.
Like.
It's true. And then, hey, Brooks, finish us off with the sigil.
Okay. Single use. Already dead to Dan. You get a plus two to casting roll. That's it. I mean, plus two to casting roll is fine. I like that. Single use. No, I'm not paying a single use for plus two.
25 points for that.
Yeah.
That's too much. It's an old power stone, I'm pretty sure. Plus two. But no, 20, I feel like those used to be like 15 or something. Like, what was that?
Power stone, I'm pretty sure, was plus D6.
Something like that. Yeah, maybe gave you another die or two. But I mean, how different magic is now. 25 mm-hmm. points seems like a lot for that one use. If it was like once a turn, 25 might be too much or might not be enough.
Sure.
That's a tough one to balance because plus two, we know in this game, is huge.
Yeah, it could be incredible.
Contrast against the power scroll. It's probably the most comparable thing I can think of, at least, which is also single use. 20 points. Wizard with it when attempting to cast a spell. If they do so, roll an extra D6 when making the casting roll and discard the lowest result.
Is that better than plus two?
Well, it can also help you miscast.
That's true.
Right? So the power scroll can help you miscast. Where this one is just like, here's a little bit extra for you.
But it doesn't do anything if you miscast. Also. Imagine paying 25 points for this. You get plus two. You roll those double ones. Now the item has done nothing.
Well, I mean, the power scroll is the same thing. It's just you have three chances of rolling two ones instead of two chances.
That's pretty true.
You know? why, Dan, in the words of, I don't remember who said this at Adepticon, why roll more dice when you can fail more?
Yeah, rolling more dice means you can fail more. Oh man, that was such a great line.
Such a good line.
I can't remember who said it, but it was really funny.
Rolling more dice gives you more chances to roll bad.
Yeah, because they would constantly roll amazing on strength 4 attacks and then roll crappy on strength 6 and 7 attacks. It didn't make any sense.
Oh, it was the best.
So good.
But to round this episode out, because those magic items were just meh. Some of them were decent, but I'm going to take the 40-point Azrael Longbow and shoot you 37 times with one character. Like, come on. You know?
Yeah, for real.
Let's get to the fun part, because there's a Herdstone in this one. It's the Prophet and the Hunter.
You wish there was a Herdstone.
There is a Herdstone.
You wish there was a Herdstone.
It's the Defender. So the Defender, Dan, you're going to love this, writes two Beastmen lists.
Two? I get two lists?
A 1,500 main force and an ambushing force of 2,000 points.
A bigger ambushing force? This sounds crazy. Actually, I haven't read this one yet, so I'm very excited here.
Brooks, take it away, bud.
It's 3,500 points of Beastmen, Dan.
Yeah.
3,500.
I love it.
So the attacker gets to write a single 25,000-point muscle list using the Orion Wild Hunt Army Infantry Composition.
2,500.
Yep. But you got to bring Orion, so already that extra 500 points is sucked away by him.
So you get a 2,000-point list.
They forgot a word here. It says the general of this army must be a free Orion, the king of the woods. Otherwise, you're playing a 2,000-point army versus...
Oh, hang on. I don't see free there. So yeah, it's 2,000 points.
Finally, we have a use for Orion, right?
He's because
you're forced. All right, so now you're playing down 1,500 points. Or no, 1,000 points.
Oh, my gosh.
So the Defender's main force, the Beastman list here, 1,500-point muscle list written using the Beastman Brayherd's Grand Army composition found in Ravening Lords. General, this army must be Kralma, the new caster they're going to have.
Oh, he's a way better character than Orion.
you get him and you got to bring him. So
he's a Brayshaman with a 4+ ward save. He's dope.
Nice. What?
Yeah.
Baked in?
Yeah.
Damn.
It's a good book.
All right.
I can't wait.
You got better characters than we did. I'll tell you that, Dan. I admit that. And then you get a separate ambushing force of 2,000-point muscles ridden using the Beast and Brayhead, Grand Army again, whatever.
Cool.
So you get two armies. You get to start with one on the table, and then you get one that's entirely on ambush ready to jump in. I kind of think this is cool. This is an interesting narrative structure to this whole thing. So what's happening is you read the pages that kind of lead up to this. Is Orion's gone pissed off by the Beastmen. He's coming for him. He's heading up north. He's impetuous. He's feeling his Kronos. He's like, we're going to have a hardwood night right now. Why is the Beastmen? They got a Herdstone. The Herdstone here does not do what a Herdstone in the Beastmen book will be doing. This one is focused just on the rules in the main book.
Is it a special feature?
It is. So that's going to benefit both sides, because I know everybody gets special rules, man.
Wow.
A monolith and a monument of glory, which those two features combined are not as good as the Hearthstone in the Beastman's book will be. So it's kind of strange, though, that they introduced that you have to use the character from the Beastman's book, but not the Hearthstone rules from the Beastman's book.
That seems weird.
But so your defenders and attackers are in the standard deployment zone, and you got a Hearthstone on the Beastman's side. The attackers are to kill Kralma. That is their goal. And then your ambushing force comes in as standard with any kind of ambushing army, right? Victory points as normal. Attacker, the defender gets 250 points if they kill Orion. The attacker gets 50 points for fleeing the battle after they kill Kralma. Mind you that the Orion's hunt can choose somebody to be the target of their hunt. So they can basically say, I get extra victory points for killing the guy who is the target of the whole thing. And all the extra buffs they get to fighting and slaughtering him.
That makes Orion worth over 700 victory points.
Yep.
That's insane. Like,
yep.
He's got a way bigger target on his head than Kralma does. Jeez.
And he's got that, five up ward save to try and stay alive throughout this thing?
Yeah, toughness 5, 5 up ward. He's fine.
So you can only wound him with magical attacks. But again, just vile
type. No, just the hounds.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's just the hounds get that.
Oh my god, it just says the hounds.
Yeah. This is so bad.
This is so bad. Why is he so bad?
He's shockingly terrible.
Hey, he causes terror.
In that case.
Oh my gosh.
I love how you grabbed the mic and like dove into it. It's not on him.
This is so bad. He's so bad.
Yeah, there's nothing redeeming about him. And I still don't know what happens if you challenge him. It's like, oh, good, you paid all these money to have these dogs baked in. You don't have a choice in it. And they're just going to get challenged out every fucking time. They're fucking useless. Like, why is it not just an automatic, like, treat him like a mount sort of thing where they always get to fight with him? I don't know.
Hey, but you might get one of his wounds back on a 5+ at the beginning of the turn. Yeah. So,
wounds. Armor.
He's so bad.
This is ridiculous. So he's worth 705 points in this scenario.
Yeah. So I don't love the way the scenario is constructed, but I do appreciate that they built an interesting scenario that has a narrative element to it. You know, the whole idea of having two different muster lists that you bring, one of which comes in separately as like set reinforcements. I do appreciate that. You know, it's a different approach to scenario planning and structure. And I'm glad to see GW like not afraid to try out some different things that I don't see in a lot of the core scenarios that they normally would use.
Sure. You could also like try and find a way to have other special characters work for the attacking and the defending armies, you know, that sort of thing. So you could like if you really wanted your dwarves to reenact killing what's his name? That stupid idiot who started the War of the Beard.
Oh, Kalidor II?
Kalidor II. Yeah. You could say, Kalidor is part of the main force, right? And then the dwarves have to just barrel through him and get all the way through, right? Like, you could use this for other things. You don't, what I'm trying to say is, you don't have to use Orion if you don't want to. Like, pick somebody else.
Yeah.
Make a super tree man and call him Durthu.
Right. This is just how they wrote it to fit
Historical
story of what's happening. But yeah, there's always that line that alternatively this scenario may be played with any two armies of the player's choosing. It's interesting though, because then that we just make it so that the general is worth that extra 250 victory points instead of Orion himself. I think that's the easiest way to change that up. Looking at other stuff, the Wood Elf units wants to get off the table. They want to leave. They want to break through the Beastman line and get off the table. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, get in, kill the guy, get out. Okay, I do kind of like the because there's a narrative that goes up to into this thing, like a tactical map showing how the Wood Elves are coming up to the Drakwald and the Beastmen are coming down. It does shift the camera of the narrative they've been telling in Old World, where we started off kind of in the Borderlands and the Border Princes with the Tomb Kings and the Praetorian Exiles and that sort of thing, and they've been kind of like panning the camera around to different areas.
Yep.
And I'm glad that they're bringing it here. It kind of makes me wonder if this is going to be all kind of like leading to it, the next thing that we've all been kind of guessing, some kind of chaos, you know, storm rising up thing that might change the situation further. That we know is coming after Cathay. We have some kind of Mystery Arcane Journal at that point. So is this part of why we're bringing the action more up north again? I'm hopeful. I don't know.
I mean, the mystery arcane journal has to be Kislev. You know what I mean? The thing that they keep teasing over and over and over. But getting some, like, maybe they'll, you know, hey, at the start of us doing the chaos incursions, like, here's a demon arcane journal, and everybody will be like, whoa, you know, like, it'll be really out of left field. But like you said, bringing things, not that demons need it, they're doing really well, but bringing armies up north, or bringing the focus up north, really does play into either Kislev or some sort of chaos, something going on, right? Or Famir. Let's just get Famir back, because that's kind of weird.
Somebody found the Famir symbol on, like, the interactive map, so.
I'm just saying, dude.
That's pretty cool.
Famir are neat. They're friggin' weird.
Yeah.
Weird lizard people things. The only reason I know about them is because I used to take them when I when we would do Storm of Magic games and my dwarf list.
Yeah, they were really cool there.
And Zotes. Zotes were cool, too. Anyways. This arcane journal is incredibly lackluster.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to say that I'm happy that they didn't make anything that's, like, so amazing you have to take it.
Because
you don't want that to kind of power creep drifting into the game. I don't think anybody should ever be in a situation where it's like, if you're playing that army, you have to be taking this, or you have to
put
the army to stay at the competitive edge.
Yep.
But by the same token, like, you want to play with the new toys, right? Like, you don't want to get a new toy and be like, this is garbage. I'm never going to put this in the field.
Right. Right.
Sadly. Yeah. It's disappointing. I feel like they were on kind of a string of misses with, like, the Empire one was really underwhelming. The High Elf one was kind of, some of it's kind of neat. A lot of it's really not good at all. And then the Wood Elves are like, oh, what is happening? This is, this is not fantastic.
Oh my gosh.
We always talk about the Arcane Journals. They give you a different way to play. I don't really see, other than the Wild Hunt being another cavalry-focused army of infamy, I don't really see that in this book.
So the Host of Talisin tries to be a tree spirit army?
Yeah, almost. I mean, you can, other than having a unit of Eternal Guard.
No, Glade Guard, but yes.
No, it's Eternal Guard.
Eternal Guard.
Oh, in this one it's Eternal?
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, it's one-up Eternal. That's so stupid. Taylor. Stop. Just stop.
Instead of being able to sit back and plink people with a bow.
But just stop doing it, though. Just don't do that. Stop giving me that. That's so dumb.
Just don't do that. At least it's not like Skaven, where you have to have a unit of 20 clan rats per 1,000 points.
You know, that's actually pretty fair, Dan. I'll give you that one.
Stop it. No. It's too many. Too much Skavens.
Get some help. Oh, man. I miss my metal Eternal Guard. Get some help.
Yeah, I do stand by what I was saying last time about armies are infamy being better to bring as an ally to a grand army as opposed to being the main focus of the force you're fielding. And yet, you know, I agree with you that a lot of the Empire stuff was kind of lackluster. But, you know, if I'm bringing in a 500 point, you know, Winter Wolves army to support what otherwise would have been missing, I'm okay with that. Suddenly they're a viable thing on the table.
Mm.
These ones, what is it that I would really be bringing in other than an extra set of woods? That's kind of the tricky thing. Like, the host is. Host has some okay stuff if you have the right battlefield set up. The, you know, the Wild Hunt, maybe if you know you're going to be hunting that one guy,
sure.
Then you can get a bunch of rerolls against them and build it as this is going to be my assassin squad sort of thing. But not amazing, and still not by themselves.
Yeah, because I remember the host one seemed really good with the army comp because it was way less restrictive than the Wild Hunt, and it was like, oh, you can literally take all Forest Spirits except for that one unit of Eternal Guard, but they had a minimum size of like 5, so it's okay, we could just have the 5 dudes. But then, like, their special rules were hot garbage.
But it does give you access, easy access to Swirling Mist stand.
Oh, well, there it we does, go.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I can get Swirling Mist without having to pay 15 points for it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm going to bed.
If you know you're fighting Beastmen, you know, gives you hatred Beastmen, but again,
you're gonna need
I don't
it.
Know.
Why is that?
We'll talk about their book next because they buck the trend.
Dan's so excited.
See what I did there?
Oh, new Doom Bulls. I mean, that's my favorite, the Minnow Horde, but that's another time.
Yeah, I love Minnow Hordes. They're fun. They're really great.
The Minnow Bus. So enthusiastic about it.
I have been forcibly in front of a Minnow Bus more times than I'd really like to.
Too many times.
It hurts. Like
I
that
need
metal...
more Minotaurs, though, I've learned. I only have like seven or eight.
Yeah, that's enough.
Nine. We're good. Something like, I think I have nine total. Like I have the old metal Doomble. That thing's a brick.
It is, yeah. Ow. So the amount of times that thing has been shoved in places I never wanted it to go. Just, and I play Slaanesh.
You nasty.
Right? Yeah, so just, you know, like Brooke said, these are not supposed to be the, oh, play this instead of, you know, your Grand Armies. But like this book is in particular, just play the Grand Army. don't hurt yourself. But I wish I had 2,500 points of Woodies to go up against your Beastmen there, Dan. But we're going to have to wait until Brooks drives 76 hours to come see us again.
You guys could each, like, do part of that, and then I could be all the Beastmen.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I have old Orion.
I think you
that
do.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. That'll be super dope.
Somebody mailed you a bunch of Wood Elves at one point.
A ton of Metal Wood Elves. Oy vey.
Wee!
People are too generous. Y'all are too generous. Knock it off. hey, if you want to mail us stuff, speaking of which, P.O. Box G, West Oneonta, New York, zip code
13861.
Yeah, that's the one I said.
We tell you, we were doing stuff over the phone to like take money out of our Roth IRAs to make the down payment on this house. And I had to give them like a bunch of information over the phone to like prove that it was me doing this. And I got to my address and I had to stop myself because I said 13820. I almost said the PO box zip code instead.
It's such a problem. See, my thing is I always go to Zoom. 02134. Huh? I don't know why. Send it to Zoom.
I don't know what that means.
It was a show. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for being here with us. Professionalcasual.com for all of our everything. Did you guys have anything else you want to talk about with Wood Elves? I'm going to bed.
I can talk about Beastmen.
No. I don't want to go through that yet.
I can't wait to just be all smiles for the Beastmen Arcane Journal episode. And I'm just going to be like, it's so good. This is so good. I'm going to roll around in my chair. And I'm so excited because Beastmen are actually good.
You know, honestly, you deserve it. So
I really appreciate that.
You really do. I'm not going to say that about stupid elves, but
fair. I've been a Beastmen player since day one. Like I've been playing Beastmen for over 20 years and they've been garbage almost the entire time.
No, it's true. It's absolutely true. Hey, we have a new review, May 26th, unless you guys read this.
No, I forgot to look.
So May 26th by Dowie Dude.
Love Is that him. You, Taylor?
Love him. It wasn't me. It's written by AI. I love this podcast. This podcast is amazing. These guys are funny and they help me play the game. I would have forgotten about half of the spells for the Anvil of Doom if I didn't listen to the dwarf episodes. I love this and I recommend the podcast 5-Stash. Dowie and TK forever.
Thanks.
Well, thanks, Dowie Dude. Listen, if you folks want to leave us a review, that would be super fantastic over on Apple Podcast or Audible. Give us a 5-star review because you love us or whatever type of review because it'll be funny. If you don't give us a 5-star review, just make it funny. All right? But give us a 5-star review.
Yeah, both. Give us a 5-star review and make it funny if you want. If you're not naturally funny, then it's fine. Just say, hey, I like this show.
Or just write like 5 stars and it's S-C-H-T-A-A-H.
You need to go to bed, man. Five what stars. Are you saying right now?
ProfessionalCasual.com for all of our other socials. We got podcasts, blogs, merch. Everything's going on over there. Like Gpapa, the Grim Podcast of Perilous Adventure. If you're into Warhammer Fantasy, which you are because you're here, give it a listen. They're on episode 6 million. It's still funny. Tim's still ridiculous. I don't know how Lucky's still alive.
we had a couple bangers last night we recorded where you know that Will Ferrell character on SNL where he's got like the crazy white hair and he's always shaking his head?
Yeah.
So I made that an NPC last night and it was fantastic because I said two words and everybody around the table was like, oh no. They knew exactly what I was going for. It was peak.
That's why they call me Whiskers.
You remember that character's name? I could not remember it. It was so fun.
It's just, what's his name from a Vantress taps into it at one point and it freaking makes me crack up every time. Anyways, twitch.tv.
Oh, wow.
Wow. You know, I've always been a worrier. twitch.tv/professional casual network, where we're doing stuff all the time. Oh yeah, the Power Phase Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. We got Dr. D's Disaster Zone. It's not Sunday, so he's not streaming right now. This is weird. I don't know what to do with my life. You know what? He might be. He probably is.
Sneak streaming.
He's streaming somewhere. He's streaming Reaman. We've got Ben's solo missions and then Starfinder 2E sometimes when we have time. Not everybody has time. Friggin' Dylan had to go do things.
Work.
Ridiculous. He's the worst. I love him.
He like
so go
speak at
much.
A conference for doctors or something.
He's not even a doctor in Norway. Or Denmark. Excuse me, Denmark.
What?
And then patreon.com/professionalcasual again if you want to give us a hand with stuff and things. It's super appreciated. Oh, hey, you want more of my stupid voice? Throlash.com. Throlash. I'm doing a whole bunch of Minecraft YouTube. You can come check me out. No, seriously, check me out. And hey, you know, it's been super fun. So yeah, you guys got anything you want to say to the peoples?
As always, may your dice always roll sixes, unless it's a leadership test.
And then threes
for a leadership test.
Yeah, you want to be on edge. You know what I mean?
I mean, that'll pass most of the time. Yeah,
most of the time, unless it's like Skaven or something. They're big, dumb idiots. Well, thanks for being here, folks. Great. See you in the next one.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this show, check out all the other great shows here at the Professional Casual Network. Like what, Danny?
I'll tell you. On Mondays, we've got the Lost Omens podcast, our Pathfinder 2E actual play, hosted by me, playing through the Extinction Curse AP. Also, streaming on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork at 7 p.m. Eastern time, you can check out, oh yeah, The Power Phase, our Marvel Crisis Protocol live battle report show. On Tuesdays, the podcast version of Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol Povlog is available. On Wednesdays, alternating releases on the Patreon, we have Settling the Southlands, our homebrew Wolforp actual play, and The Slithering, a Pathfinder 2nd edition actual play. And on Thursdays, live at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork, we've got Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol Povlog.
You can also check out back episodes of Elite Eight Showdown and the first 39 episodes of the Lost Omens podcast, the first 24 episodes of Settling the Southlands, and the first handful of episodes of The Slithering on the YouTube at youtube.com/theprofessionalcasual.